We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
We are so blessed to be joined now by Pro Football Focus lead draft analyst and a good buddy of mine from the old Combine days, Mr. Barbecue Restaurant himself, Trevor Sikkema. Trevor, how are you, man?
I'm doing fantastic. I appreciate you putting the disclaimer in there because, oh Lord, do I know that if something's a little off about somebody signing with a team or something, boom, I'll see it in my mentions within 5 seconds. So I do appreciate it, but I'm excited to get to break down class here with you.
Keep the DMs open because this could shift. This could shift, but we're trying to get ahead of things, trying to get guys scheduled, and so blessed to be joined by Trav. If you want to just take like 30 seconds or sort of explain who you are, you know, we had Justice on and everybody knows who Justice is. He's a very Packersy guy, but you're big time. You're a national lead draft analyst and kind of who is Trevor Sikkema?
Yeah. Everybody knows Justice. He's the force player's godfather. You know, he laid the foundation of how draft Twitter kind of scouted edge rushers. So everybody knows Justice. No. Okay. So yeah. Hi, I'm Trevor. I'm the lead draft analyst over at Pro Football Focus. Took over for Mike Renner this past summer as Mike kind of left PFF and massive shoes to fill. So just been trying to do that as best as I possibly can. Started off my career covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a beat reporter for PewterReport.com. Dad did that for a handful of years. Got to go to a lot of great events, Shrine Bowl, Senior Bowl, Combine. And then I did the same for the Draft Network, which is where I was at after PewterReport. And then from the Draft Network, came over to PFF. Been there for, this is my third season now with PFF. First two seasons, did a lot of their on-camera hosting. Did a lot of stuff with everything. College football, NFL football, fantasy football, all that good stuff. And now I get to just talk draft 24/7, which is a lot of fun for me to do. So
you said draft. So you are or are not the guy when Packers fans disagree with their grades. That's your Twitter account that they go to, or
yeah. As I often say, as the person who grades every single player. That is where you can file your disdain for any of the grades that you have throughout the season.
We're certainly and Renner, and a lot of people know this, but Renner's a Packers guy. I believe family is season ticket holders, and I happen to know that at least one member of the Renner family is a subscriber to Packer Report, for which we truly appreciate. Pop Renner, I believe Mike's dad is a subscriber. Had a chance to meet him at training camp one time. Hell of a guy. So is Mike. I might bug Mike for a position. He's still grinding.
You got to do it. You got to get Mike into the rotation. He's still itching to get the draft takes off. And the world needs to hear his draft takes. So you got to do it.
All right. State of the room. And again, like we're hopeful that this is relatively useful, but Green Bay is in a really interesting spot with their linebacker situation. As has been discussed, you know, kind of ad nauseum, the Packers are going to switch to more of a four down look. And while the NFL is still definitely a 4-2-5 nickel league, the Packers are going to be in a base 4-3, which means they're going to go from basically five line of scrimmage players and two off ball guys to four line of scrimmage players and three off ball guys. It was kind of a thin room last year, though. I would say a former BC Eagle who played for Jeff Hafley, Isaiah McDuffie, did a nice job in, you know, kind of filling in wherever he needed to, whether it was for Devondre Campbell or Quay Walker. But McDuffie's kind of penciled into a starting spot right now with the likely salary cap casualty that is Devondre Campbell. I wouldn't say that Green Bay has necessarily completely gotten what they'd hoped for by using the 22nd overall pick on Georgia's Quay Walker a few drafts ago. So it's definitely a room that in general needs some love, whether it comes from the free agent class. And again, hand up, we're on basically like franchise tag day. So if this holds up, they did not do much in the linebacker room, but man, the room is in flux and probably, I would guess, might need the 2018 edge room treatment, where Green Bay signs Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith and then uses the number 12 overall pick on Rashawn Gary. Now, are they going to pay a linebacker as much as they paid those two guys? No, they are not. Are they going to draft anybody in round one? Maybe not. But I have heard that they like this. I believe Pro Football Focus is, we can get to your kind of take on this in a second. I'm going to throw an allegedly in here, but the Packers are in on Edger and Cooper. That is our understanding, that they really like Edger and Cooper. Is that LB1 over at Pro Football Focus, or is he close?
He was LB1 for a while. I think during the season, he was really impressed me. I mean, he had an elite overall grade. Basically, it was a fantastic run defense grade and a really good coverage grade as well. When I came down to actually watching the tape of him, a lot of those good coverage plays were more of, you know, run and chase stuff in the flat. You know, he's handling guys that are kind of coming out of the backfield. So not exactly the drop back deep into coverage, Tampa 2 type of coverage assignments where he's grading really well, but still really good football player, really good athlete, click and close ability and an ability to go downhill. Very, very impressive. So if you want a downhill backer, I think this is the guy for you, or at least he should be in the conversation. There's a handful of good downhill backers in this class, but Edger and Cooper feels like the best of them. He is not RB1. I have NC State's Peyton Wilson pretty comfortably as LB1, actually, in this class. I gave Peyton Wilson a late first, early second round grade off of tape. And so really the injury history was the only thing holding me back from really liking this dude. But I genuinely think Wilson could be a first round type of a player. I don't know if the NFL is going to quite pick him that high, but I would expect that Edger and Cooper and then Michigan's Junior Colson to probably be those next two off the board. It's going to be some combination of those three guys. Just depends who teams really like and have a preference for.
Yeah, it turns out we're exactly in lockstep. I'm looking over here at my big board. I've got Peyton Wilson with that 9.81 relative athletic score. You talk about RB1. I mean, maybe.
It's true. Yeah, it's maybe. True. What was it? 4.44, 40-yard dash, 4.43, something like that.
Yeah, if he can keep those knees and shoulders in one piece, I think Peyton Wilson has a chance to be a special player. Him at 47 overall with a second round grade, Edger and Cooper at 50th overall, and then just a little bit kind of down the way there, 58th overall, Junior Colson. I'm right with you, but I got to tell you, I think we might have our first sort of disagreement would be with North Carolina linebacker Cedric Gray, and I'm not going to necessarily get into, and I trust me, I understand his faults. I do. The class, as I sort of unenthusiastically kicked the show off with, I don't love it. And especially if you're a team like Green Bay, and why I even tweeted out today, like, hey, they better go get a veteran. And today the Dolphins released Jerome Baker, who's super interesting from a Packers perspective, because his position coach in Miami is now the linebackers coach in Green Bay. And that is a darn fine player, not a superstar, but a darn fine player. In Jerome Baker, but your overall kind of should I be not super excited to want to maybe need to grab two or even three guys from this class?
No, you know, it's tough because there's not that many superstars that you would really covet at the very top of this class. But I think there's a lot of decent players. Like Gray is somebody who I think is going to end up a little bit higher when it comes to the final PFF board. I think that he'll probably end up being, I feel like it's probably a priority day three pick. Like I think he's probably going to be ranked somewhere around 110, 120. I think he'll end up being a fourth round pick when it's all said and done. But like, you know, you bring up guys like Cedric Gray, you know, Jalen Ford from Texas, kind of the same way. JT Bertrand, you know, Steel Chambers from Ohio State. These guys are fine linebacker prospects, but to me, outside of maybe Gray because of his athleticism, none of them really like stand out to me. And linebacker, kind of like running back, if you don't have a calling card type of a trait, it's hard for me to really prioritize you. Not that you can't play in the league. A lot of teams need a lot of linebackers, right? There's at least two of them out there on the field. Sometimes you got three, sometimes you got four. Big special teams position as well. You know, these are guys that can make bottom of the roster to be these key special teams players on kick and punt return teams. And so there's a lot of snaps for linebackers to have, but there's just a lot that come out every single year. So if you don't really have that standout trait, it's hard for me to rank you really high versus premium positions or versus players that have more of these standout traits, even if it's a different position. So it's deep. You know, I think that you could get depth pieces. Yeah, I think that you could get guys who are LB3, LB4 for you, rotational linebackers, you know, heavy set line or heavy formation linebackers. Again, guys who will play special teams, but there's just not a lot of players who, to me, have these calling card traits that really allow them to stand out in a position that normally it's tough to do that anyways.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. As I said, I was not a huge fan of this group. And that's sort of the stressful thing if you are a Packers fan and they do release Devondre Campbell is, you know, when you say LB1, we're more talking about sort of their pecking order from a skill standpoint, not necessarily Mike, Will, Sam. You're more worried about, like, can Quay Walker be the best linebacker on a good defense? Can right. Isaiah McDuffie be the second best linebacker on a good defense? I don't know if the answer to either of those things is yes. So are they active in free agency? People will know by the time this comes out. Or, you know, are they looking to add someone early in the draft, as I mentioned, tied to Cooper as a guy that they like? As far as the Packers being super, you know, we've talked a little bit before the show about kind of team tendencies and how that's maybe the next frontier for you and sort of what you like to focus on. I mentioned, you know, super extra large offensive linemen is something that Green Bay just doesn't do. But one thing that I have found interesting is kind of the lack of requirements for Green Bay from a athletic standpoint at the linebacker position. They're very picky in other spots. You know, they're extremely, I would say, specific about what they will or won't do at the wide receiver position. They've been very kind of specific about that, what they will or won't do on the offensive line. Pass rusher is a place where they've been extremely specific. They used to kind of take non-athletes at tight end. And then when Richard Rodgers and Jay Sternberger didn't work out, they went the complete opposite way with Musgrave and Kraft. And it would be hard to argue that that has gone anything but outstandingly. Granted, it's one season, but man, you go back and yes, Quay Walker, super elite athlete. So was seventh round pick Ty Summers. But you go back to other guys that have gotten significant playing time for Green Bay. And even in like the Wolf, and not even necessarily Wolf, but we'll talk about just the Thompson Gutekunst era. There was nothing special athletically about Isaiah McDuffie. There was nothing special athletically about Blake Martinez, who played a billion snaps for Green Bay. Not an incredible relative athletic score for Desmond Bishop. They used a high pick in 2006 on Abdul Hodge, who was not much of an athlete. Sam Barrington in 2013 was not much of an athlete. And of course this is relative to other NFL. These are freak athletes, unbelievable, you know, football players. But even DJ Smith from Appalachian State is another guy that just, they were not a freak. And the Packers are notorious for loving height, weight, speed, agility. Like, those things are important. But at the linebacker position, it has not been, which means that as a Packers fan trying to figure out what linebacker they might take, yeah, if they're going to take one in the top 60, look for the freaks. If they're going to take one where they kind of have been taking them between like round 3 and round 5, yeah, you could get a real super athlete like Jake Ryan, but you could also have a significant investment in an athlete like Blake Martinez, where you're just like, nope, instincts, smart, Stanford, we're good. He'll play Mike. It'll be, you know, and it wasn't awesome, but like, we'll be fine. So I would say that the depth and the breadth of like guys that they're going to look at this position is far less specific than other spots.
Yeah. And it's interesting because you brought up how different this linebacker room might be. And I think the cornerstone is Walker, right? Walker is not going anywhere, and he is that athletic linebacker. So to me, when you look at the Packers selections, and I'm pulling up all their draft picks right now, you get a first, you get 2 seconds, you get 2/3. I wonder if one of those picks would be Jeremiah Trotter Jr., just because how smart he is, how high of an IQ he is. He'd be a good communicator for you. He recognizes things in the pre-snap. Are you okay with saying, okay, we already have a really good athlete in Quay Walker, let's get another guy as our inside linebacker in Jeremiah Trotter Jr., where Trotter Jr., he's not a great athlete. You know, I worry about his athleticism. I worry about that sideline to sideline ability when it comes to the NFL level. He anticipates well enough to where he can mitigate that. But I think that he is slower of an athlete than you would probably expect. And the size, he's small. He's like 6 foot, 6 foot one, you know, like 225 pounds. Doesn't have long stride length, doesn't have long arms, and the long arms show up when he's taking on blocks, when he's trying to wrap guys up and when tackling. And so he's, to me, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. has a handful of physical deficiencies that you have to note in the scouting report, but the positives for him, the strength, are all about, again, how well he sees the field, how well he understands the game. Helps when you got an all-pro father, you know, teaching you and coaching you throughout your life, and you absolutely see that from him. So to me, we can list off a handful of athletic linebackers that I think they could have their eyes on in anywhere from round three on. But if they're taking one, maybe in that middle of the second round with a couple of second round picks, perhaps they feel like they can go with a guy like Trotter or maybe get him in the third round as well.
What a phenomenal weekend of college basketball. And hopefully you, like me, enjoyed your experience even more by using Prize Picks. If you didn't, well, what are you waiting for? Right now, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with your college basketball entries today. And it doesn't stop there. They have all sorts of entries available, including NBA, NHL, and so many more. Testing my skills on Prize Picks has been the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports, especially during March Madness. It's extremely simple to play, and they even have super fun promotions available like their Taco Tuesday, where select player projections are discounted up to 25% to provide even more value and excitement. They also have incredibly easy withdrawals, and for those of you that utilize Apple Pay, you can use it for quick and easy deposits into your account. College basketball is always fun this time of year, but it was so much more fun this past weekend with Prize Picks. I'll be sticking with Caitlin Clark this week and probably adding a few NBA selections as well, especially with the return of Chris Middleton to the Bucks. So what are you waiting for? Download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. If you're like me, you've been in numerous ticket situations that were just flat out frustrating. Recently, I had tickets to a Bucks game and I could not locate the tickets that were allegedly sent to me. It ended up in a huge hassle and led to me being completely frustrated by the entire experience. Ticket purchases should not be that difficult, and thankfully, they don't have to be. GameTime is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals and their lowest price guarantee, GameTime takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I'm already eyeing up Bucks playoff tickets, and I know I'll be purchasing them through GameTime. My experience with GameTime has been simple, seamless, and completely without hassle. No more frustration, no more awful last-minute customer service phone calls, just easy access to great tickets. My favorite aspect of GameTime is their last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off by buying last-minute tickets, and save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the big game. And best of all, it's all covered with their low price guarantee. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with GameTime. Download the GameTime app, Create an account and use code Packaday for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code Packaday, P-A-C-K-A-D-A-Y, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yeah, I would be surprised there. And the reason that I say I would be surprised there is as I sort of said, when Green Bay is starting, Kingsley Anagbari is a great example. I loved him. I think he was a top 70 guy for me. I think PFF kind of liked Kingsley as well, or certainly liked him better than round five, basically. Not an enormous like length, you know, space alien type pass rusher guy that Green Bay normally goes for early. But the film was so good, and you get down to round four, get down to round five, you get down to round five and round six, Green Bay will start to remove themselves from these athletic thresholds. They do not like to do that in the top 100. And I think the biggest outlier there, and you can, you know, of course, there's a little bit of a conspiracy theory that Aaron Rodgers was pushy about Amari Rodgers because Amari Rodgers had a relationship with Randall Cobb, and they were trying to get Randall Cobb to come back to Green Bay, which eventually did happen. And they, if Randall Cobb didn't come back to Green Bay, they did need a slot receiver. So that was going to be Amari Rodgers. But Amari is like this black mark on their top 100 drafting, not necessarily because he didn't work out, because he didn't, but he was also very much an outlier, like not what they normally require at receiver and not what they normally do in general from an athlete standpoint. So for them to go after kind of, again, I'm like non-athlete is overly mean, but a guy like that in the top 100, I'm not so sure. The other aspect of that, I mentioned that Isaiah McDuffie played really well, and I thought that he did. He played well in both spots when Quay and Campbell had their various injuries here and there. Versatile guy, but 6'1", 225. I mean, Isaiah McDuffie is little. If it's me and I'm operating under the assumption that Green Bay at this point has not added a veteran, I don't know that that'll happen. In fact, they used to do it all the time. They swung with Christian Kirksey and it didn't go so well. And then they swung with Devondre Campbell for no money and it went awesome. And they gave him $50 million and that has went less awesome. But the point is they have done the like late free agency sort of scrap heap linebacker. Hey, we'll give you rundown snaps and it'll be fine. And maybe if we find something in the draft, great, whatever. If I'm looking at a linebacker for Green Bay, Peyton Wilson at 238 is that guy. Edgerrin Cooper at 230 is that guy. And even he, it's a good thing he's so athletic going downhill because, you know, Colson at 247, that's more my jam. Even
right.
Even the size that, the Notre Dame kid, either Notre Dame kid has, would be attractive to me just because McDuffie is already kind of that more compact linebacker. And I don't know that you would want two sort of smallish guys with Quay. And as freaky as Quay is from a height, weight, speed standpoint, he's not going to like take on a guard in the A gap and blow him up. I mean, that's not what Quay Walker does. He's not weak, but he's not just getting his nose dirty play after play after play. That's not what he does well, and it's not what they should do. So I would not be surprised if they were sort of in on the bigger backs, or excuse me, bigger backers, especially early. Okay. Rich, I mentioned some of those potential fits. You kind of mentioned a guy, if you are looking for an instinct leadership type guy, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Favorite guys in this class, couple guys that I would guess, and I don't have like the consensus big board really pulled up in front of me, but guys that I would guess that I'm higher on than consensus. I mentioned Cedric Gray at North Carolina, physically impressive guy, 89th percentile athlete, according to RAS. I would use him to blitz. I would use him to cover. I would take him off the field on first down. I mean, I just, and instincts are sort of, and so Gray is a guy that I like plenty for a specific role, and I think that role has value, especially if he's a really good pass defender. That has a ton of value. They lost to the 49ers because Brock Purdy identified their nickel and their two linebackers. And I mean, he did not even throw at Valentine or Jair Alexander. You go back and look at that 49ers loss. It was middle of the field pass defense. That was what broke their back was, well, we're just going to get Kittle and McCaffrey on your linebackers and your nickels, and we're going to kill you. And that's what they did. So the middle of the field pass defense thing, I really see Gray in kind of that role again, not necessarily somebody that I want down in, down out, and certainly not on early downs. I'm not even going to give this one a shot, but I like the Washington kid, Ed Olofosio.
Oh, Olofosio. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. I think I'm higher on him than what we would call, you know, consensus. And then I'm very interested to see more of, and this is sort of telling on myself because I don't have a ton of games watched with him, but you have to do the double take on Trevin Wallace after you work out like that. The kid from Kentucky, you got to do kind of the double take. Anybody, and I think, I don't know how many people, I guess maybe you could pull back the curtain on that. I mean, is the PFF big board your big board? Is there other input to that, or is it just these are my rankings?
No, it's mostly my rankings. Now, okay. Some of these guys, you know, like the calendar, it's tough to keep up with guys. You know, you're watching guys during the season. I'm trying to put as many guys in the big board as possible because, you know, for most of the process, just to let everybody out there know, if you're using the PFF mock draft simulator, those are my rankings. And so we don't switch that over until right around this time of year when we switch over to kind of like the consensus and the predictive rankings. And so up until this point, it's a lot of my stuff. So we try to throw as many guys in there to make sure that you have the ability.
I can never get Cooper DeJean. You're the problem. I can never get Cooper DeJean at 25 because of you.
Well, he's top 10 prospect for me. Sorry. And in reality, I think that he's going later than that, but No, I love Cooper. He's awesome. And so we'll be flipping the switch over to the consensus ranking, but yeah, just to let everybody know. Now, it's mostly my stuff, but I have, you know, a group of people at PFF who just guys who like watching ball, college football guys, who will get people on my radar. You say, hey, this guy got invited to Shrine. This guy got invited to Senior. Hey, this guy's grading really well for us. And I'll watch a little bit of them just to make sure I can put him on the big board. But that is a lot of my stuff. And so, especially when it comes to the linebacker position, I think to answer your question, some guys that might be Packers targets just from listening to how you speak about things. I would have brought up Trevin Wallace, the linebacker from Kentucky. I think the instincts and the recognition are still a work in progress for him, but really, really good athlete. You could see that on tape. He's still figuring it out, but if you're picking a guy day three, you're probably not going to start him anyway. So that's a dude that you draft. You let the athleticism shine. You kind of figure it out. So I do like him as an option. Cedric Gray would have been somebody that I brought to the table because I think he fits that billing. Curtis Jacobs from Penn State. I'm lower on him than I think a lot of other people are, but really good athlete, kind of the same way. If you're going to gravitate towards that, and you, like you said, maybe the thresholds fall off a little bit when you get into the day three area, but he is somebody who, if you just want to say to yourself, you know, let's just take an athlete, right? Then I think that he is somebody who is going to be on that radar for sure. Olofosio from Washington is very interesting because when I watched his tape, I thought he had good coverage instincts and recognition, but there were a handful of times where I just wondered if he could really get from point A to point B as fast as he wants to. And then at the combine, he
can in underwear.
I mean, he tested very, very well in a lot of different categories, you know, 4.56 40 yard dash. I'm looking at it now. Vertical jump. I think he did well as well. 39.5. So he had the highest vertical jump. Did he have the furthest broad? He did 10'8". So yeah, I mean, this dude was leading in both of the explosive categories. I just wondered, were those instincts there to get the most out of that athleticism? I think that's a big question mark for a lot of these linebackers anyways. So those are three guys that I would kind of bring to, well, four guys that maybe I would bring to the table. And then the other one, I like Maris Leofoe, the Notre Dame linebacker. I think he's got some pretty good tape. Now, he's more of like a punisher than a coverage guy, but I thought his coverage wasn't too bad this past season. And I just love the pop he had at contact when he was going at dudes full speed, coming downhill, going to the sideline. I feel like something was there. And so he didn't test like elite, but he is somebody who I think the speed to power is specifically using that momentum to gain a lot of hit power and get into ball carriers. I like that dude as well. So I want to shout him out too.
So the two guys that are kind of in that like one, you know, 110 to like 140 range for me that I would sort of peg as, well, this is the guy that they'll play at Mike that they'll pull off the field, you know, Mike or Sam, that they'll pull off the field when they go to a 4-2-5 nickel. And that's Marist and then Tommy Eichenberg from Ohio State. I think those two guys would be, if you're going to pair a bigger, you know, guy that you maybe don't want in space with Quay and McDuffie, Eichenberg and Leofau are two guys that I definitely had my eye on as, you're not going to burn a top 100 pick on them, probably. You're certainly not going to burn a top 60 pick on either of those guys. But if it's round four or round five and you just need somebody to play first and second down and then get off the field in your sub package, that, you know, one of those two guys might kind of fit the bill.
I agree. I agree with you.
All right. We'll wrap this baby up. I'm going to take the gun to your head question. You guys have been following along just because, like we said, Trevor is, we're going to try and educate. I told Trey, we're going to, you know, offer to, get him some of the Packers thresholds and some of the team tendencies as he tries to build that out through 32 teams. But it's something that I live, eat, and breathe every day. So I think the gun to the head question is easy. And the gun to the head question for those of you, if this happens to be the first episode you're watching, is Green Bay has their own one. They've got two twos. They got two threes. They have their own four. They lost their five by trading away Rasul Douglas for a third round pick. But that Alan Lazard comp pick is going to come in super handy at the end of round five. So those, what would be, I believe, seven picks in the first five rounds. And Green Bay's done some amazing things in round five. You talk about Dontavion Wicks last year. Aaron Jones was round five. Starting nose tackle TJ Slayton was round five. They've done plenty of stuff in round five. I know, you know, our friend, as we mentioned at the top, Justice Mosqueda, loves to say the draft is four rounds long. Well, in Green Bay, it has at least been five.
He's not totally wrong. I'm not supposed to say that as a draft guy. No, I know. We go all seven rounds, but yes.
No, I know. But so basically getting to the end there, which is like pick 167 or whatever it may be that the Jets signing Alan Lazard will get Green Bay. I'm gonna tell you, yes, Green Bay will add one of these linebackers. I mean, unless they do something absolutely nuts in free agency, they have to add to the room because I got nothing against Eric Wilson or Christian Welch. Those were Rich Bisaccia break glass in case of emergency on defense special teams players. And Eric Wilson did fine a couple times playing on defense and played so much defense for the Vikings when he was with Minnesota, but truly Welch and Wilson are not defensive players. More than likely Devondre Campbell, who's played a billion snaps for Green Bay the last couple of years, is going to be a salary cap casualty. One cannot simply go into the season with Isaiah McDuffie and Quay Walker. So gun to my head, yes, Green Bay takes a linebacker in the first five rounds. Trev, thanks so much, buddy. This was awesome.
I appreciate it, dude. No, it was great to chop it up with you. I felt like, you weren't at Combine this year at all, were you? Or did I just miss you?
I got married and had kids. That's
what you know happened. What? That's if there's a reason to miss, I guess that would be the reason to miss. But whether you were there or not, it was a bummer not running into you at least for a little bit. So we got to make up for it here on this episode. So I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. All right, folks. Thank you so much for watching or listening. If you are on the podcast feed, how can you help us out? Buy the Green Bay Draft Guide powered by Packer Report. You can use promo code DAILY, that is DAILY, for 10% off that guide. Check us out at Packer Report. I am at Russ Uglum on X, formerly known as Twitter. Do all the things you're supposed to do here on the Pack-A-Day podcast as well. Like, subscribe, click the bell so you get notifications. All the things you're supposed to do. Have a great rest of your day, folks, and go, Pack, go.